This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Today, we all remember and reflect on last year's shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. But in schools around the country, thoughts of gun violence are not confined to anniversaries. Kids regularly endure lockdown drills to prepare them for the unthinkable in their own classrooms. While lockdown drills have become commonplace, the psychological effects are unknown. Aditi Bundalamudi is one of the few reporters trying to find out. She's a reporting fellow with Guns in America, a public media project investigating the role of guns in American life. She's based at WNC, and she is with me now. Welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
So let's talk about a lockdown drill. What is a lockdown drill?
Well, they take different forms, and the thing about drills is that they differ from state to state, district to district, school to school. And partly that's because, you know, safety teams have different ideas as to what students should be doing, whether they should hold in place. You know, a lot of lockdown drills look like kids, you know, sitting away from a door in a darkened classroom. Others have other sort of procedures. You know, they'll evacuate, or there'll be a certain procedure where they hold in place and then evacuate once a teacher tells them it's okay to. So they look different. And often a lockdown drill is it's programmed around what the school structure is. Schools look very different. So if the school is bigger, if the school doesn't have doors, some schools don't have doors, the lockdown drill is bound to look different.
I think that's one of the most interesting things that you found. We're going to get into the psychological impact, which has not really been researched, but the idea that there aren't best practices by now. How do schools prepare for this, even given the, you know, the differences in size and design? That's kind of interesting all by itself, given the prevalence of gun violence in the United States.
Right. I mean, I think there is no standardized way of doing a lockdown drill, just because there hasn't been a lot of research done on lockdown drills. It's very difficult to study because they differ from school to school, so it would be hard to find a control group. And also, school shootings themselves are very different. Some school shooters come from within a school. Some school shooters come from outside a school. It just varies.
So what about the number of kids at the number of schools who are now sort of going through lockdown drills? Do we know how prevalent they are?
Well, so in 2015, or rather, there was a study that was done for the 2015-2016 school year by the National Center for Education Statistics, and it found that 95% of schools perform some sort of lockdown drill. Then the Washington Post did an investigation just last year, or on the 2017-2018 school year, and found that more than 4.1 million kids have gone through at least one lockdown drill last year.
All right. So the question is, what kind of effect does it have? Hopefully it's keeping them safer, but psychologically, having to go through these all the time, being constantly reminded that you are vulnerable to gun violence. So you talked to some kids, and this is interesting. So how are they taking all this in when you went about doing your own research?
Well, I think, you know, kids are trying to wrap their head around exactly what's happening. I talked to kindergartners, and then I talked to high school seniors and juniors. I talked to these kindergartners about what they think the drills are, and one of their moms helped me talk to them about it. But they kind of view it as like almost like a cartoon.
That doesn't have a credit card, and because they might be trying to steal someone or something.
Okay. So if somebody doesn't have an ID, they might be trying to steal someone. Who would they be trying to steal?
Maybe anyone, I guess.
Yeah. Like a kid? Some of the kids or adults, or who would they be trying to steal?
They might explode the whole school.
They might explode the whole
school. Yeah.
Why do you think that might happen?
Because they might have.
They might have dynamite.
Kindergarten students Caleb and Maddox. My guest is Aditi Bundalamudi, who is reporting fellow with Guns in America, a public media project reporting on the role of guns in American life. So there's one point of view from some kindergarten kids, not fully grasping kind of what's going on.
Not fully grasping. I mean, and the thing is that kindergarten students, I mean, even as early as preschool, kids are doing these drills. But, you know, they view it differently. I mean, I talked to Caleb and Maddox about it, who weren't super fazed by it. But I talked to their friend, Ezra, who was very afraid and had a hard time talking about it.
And you spoke with some parents of some very young children. What did they tell you about their kids' emotional states after a lockdown drill?
So I think parents are trying to figure out how to deal with it. Ezra's mom, Sarah DiBerardinis, she felt really afraid of how to talk to her kids about lockdown drills. And she could tell that her kid was upset about it, but didn't know how to approach it.
Let's hear what happened when you talked with her.
You know, there's something that he has to do for his own safety, but that it's creating this emotional trauma and that it's not like a one-time thing that you can just kind of get over and get past. So he either has to, you know, learn to sort of set those feelings aside or tamp them down, or they just magnify over time, and I don't know which way it'll go.
That's Sarah talking about her son Ezra, who is in kindergarten. I'm talking with Aditi Bundalamudi, who is the Audion Reporting Fellow with Guns and America, a public media reporting project on the role of guns. So what about when you started talking with older kids? How did they respond to all this?
Some were very affected by it, and others were just sort of like, this is a part of life. This is something that we have to deal with. But they've been going through drills for their whole life.
And you talked with some of the older kids. Esther is somebody who you interviewed as well. Tell us a little bit more about Esther's situation.
Esther is, she goes to Carrboro High School, and she felt very triggered after Parkland.
It's not just about the situation arising. It's the constant fear of it happening that affects me more than if, like, the one day would be stressful, because every single day I go into school and I have thoughts about that every single day.
That is Esther, who was a student in Carrboro, talking with Aditi Bundalamudi, a reporting fellow with Guns in America. So what about the research? I mean, obviously you found very little, but you did talk to some experts in the field who gave you some insight into how this might be affecting kids, right?
I mean, the thing is that there hasn't been any documented research about the psychological effects of lockdown drills, partly because lockdown drills are just super difficult to study, and also because it's just hard to find, you know, psychological effects may only appear later in life. You know, this is something that kids have to deal with for a very long time, for most of their lives. So it's tricky to study. But the researchers who I spoke to were, you know, from risk management backgrounds or school safety backgrounds, where they could kind of look at what the structure looks like and then apply some psychology to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult thing to even try to measure, because on the one hand, you would say, well, okay, we've got this thing in place. If I'm a student, this should be making me safer. I mean, if I'm reading the papers or listening to the news, I'm worried about gun. I'm very vulnerable to gun violence if I'm an American. So I know that as a kid. Well, at least they're doing something. I mean, you could look at it that way, but we really haven't had sort of the kind of research. What are researchers telling you in general about this kind of preparedness? Do we have any other research that could map onto this that could at least point us in the right direction?
I mean, the most important thing to sort of take away from, I think, all of this is that even though we hear about school shootings, seems like almost every day we hear about school shootings, but the truth is that they're incredibly rare. They're very rare. The CDC just released information about multiple victim homicides that would happen in a school, so something like a mass school shooting. Last year, there was a little bit of an uptick, but it's still incredibly rare. I think it's like a 1 in 10 million chance. You're more likely to be struck by lightning. And children are more likely to die drowning in pools or in bicycle accidents, not in a school. Schools still remain one of the safest places.
How do these compare? Because, you know, I used to have to do nuclear annihilation drills, right? We were preparing for the end of the universe. And we would walk in. There was a fallout shelter sign on my school. Constant reminder that we were in a Cold War and I could die any moment. Do we know about those and the effect that they had on people like me?
I mean, we only have anecdotal evidence because that hasn't been studied either. But the effects are sort of similar to lockdown drills. People are obviously psychologically affected by this. But again, it's only anecdotal evidence because not a lot of research has been done, period.
And the other thing is that you can do that. You can isolate lockdown drills and their effect, but it's a kind of cumulative effect, right? I mean, people are getting shot to death every day in America at rates that don't happen anywhere else. So that you take on board. Violence is generally a part of our lives that we take on board. Environmental violence. So you read about all this stuff, and then the lockdown, it would be almost pretty difficult to try to measure the cumulative effect of all the things that we should rightly be afraid of.
I'm sure. But I think it's also very important to keep in mind that crime rates have been going down. Violence is going down, even though we hear about it a lot. And it definitely does happen. It happens less often than I think we think it does.
Aditi Bundalamudi is a reporting fellow with Guns and America. It's a public media reporting project about the role of guns in American life. She's based here at WUNC. Aditi, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You can find links to her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk to experts and authors about the way the romance novel has changed and opened things up. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.